I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. On this episode of The Dad Experience, Adam talks to Zach all about his health and getting back in shape. Pay attention to the audio. Sorry it wasn't the greatest on this one, but there's so much great information that you don't want to miss. It's so much that we're going to meet again and have another episode. So if you're interested in getting healthy again and just don't know how to do that, take a listen to this episode. It's a good one with lots of great health info.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Adam here, flying solo again, but we're really excited. Today we have Zach Ganska on with us. Zach is a health blogger, big into health, a lot of health coaching, and helping folks get back into the routine, especially busy parents and dads getting back into the routine and finding that. And we're going to touch a little bit on that. He's got many blogs out there, masculinity and rites of passage. He has an all meat diet blog. We're going to place all of these in our show notes so you can link to all that stuff. Zach also has a podcast, Bigger Revolution, out. So without giving too much away, we're going to get right into it with Zach. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate being here and having the opportunity to chat with you and tell people about what I do and hopefully help some of your listeners out, maybe work through some of their barriers.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So we always start our podcast out every episode with who lives with you at home and what's the makeup of your household?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been a stay-at-home dad for, let me think, going on 5 years now. I just crossed the four-year mark. And to clarify, no point in my life before that was I was like, hey, you know what my dream is? I'd really like to be at home with two toddlers. That sounds like my ideal scenario. So we found ourselves in that situation after a training collaboration. I was working for Mercy Health, and we were supposed to build a program with a company I'm certified through, Strong First, which is a worldwide leader in strength and coaching and the really awesome strength community. Anyways, long story short, that didn't work. We came back to Reno because my wife had a good, really good job opportunity, and that's where we originated from. So we moved back from Springfield, Missouri to Reno. And since that time, you know, it's been me, her. We have two boys, ages 3 and 5. Michael's our oldest and Owen is our youngest. And ironically, they have the same birthday 2 years apart to the day.
Wow, that's impressive. That's a first here. How do you guys celebrate that? Does it ever get in the way of each other? Are they pretty happy that they share the same birthday?
Well, right now I think they're too young to know any better. So I think that we've talked about that, and I speculate that maybe around the time that Michael, you know, goes from like elementary to middle school or middle school to high school, it might not be cool anymore to hang out with your 2 year younger brother on his birthday. So. Or as, you know, they start going to birthday parties, they might go, hey, this is kind of cool. There's only, you know, one kid being lavished on right now. So we'll see. So far, so good. They don't know any different. And we're embracing it. It's a lot of fun. So
that is fun. That is fun. And it sounds like you can maybe right now not have to really plan two parties. I mean, it's one big party. So essentially, it's probably usually two big parties. But at least you get to do them all in one day. Get everybody there in one day. Choose one date and do that.
Yep. And we've timed it. Pretty good. 6 months away from Christmas. So, you know, kind of got all the boxes checked. It's very nice.
Yeah, that's always helpful. That's always helpful. And it's not too close to any major holiday, really. So that's nice.
Right.
So, you know, I know myself from experience, I was in pretty good physical condition. I myself actually at one point in my life was about almost 240, and I'm 6'1". I was 240 pounds, and I decided I wanted to make a life change, and I decided that you know, I needed to do that because I'd seen health issues in my family, diabetes runs in the family, so I lost weight, and in a 6 month
awesome.
Period, I lost like 60 pounds. But then,
damn man, nice job.
This crazy thing came about like 5 years after I lost that 60 pounds, and I had a kid. And
right.
You know, because of different health demands for her before she was born and whatnot, one thing had to give in my schedule, it was just too much for me to be. I was working out five to six days a week. Obviously, I was eating better, but the working out was the biggest thing for me. And I just couldn't do anymore. My stress couldn't handle it. I couldn't manage the time. So I kind of lost it and working myself back into doing that. So from a selfish issue, but I'm sure our listeners want to know too, how does one get back into becoming healthy, especially after maybe taking a break or maybe not even setting foot into that because they never really had to before and they just
feel like, okay, now's the time that I need to make this happen. So what do you suggest as somebody trying to get back into that for the first time again?
Hey, Dan, that's a great question. Like you just said, I mean, obviously you look at the statistics and given our rates of obesity and being overweight and all the direct, like you talked about your motivation being the lifestyle problems that you saw would be in your future had you not done that. I mean, it's just overwhelming right now in our culture. So obviously this is, something that most people, if not all people, really need to get dialed in. And I mean, there's definitely it'll be the bulk of our conversation because it really starts with the whole paradigm. And we have to look at the purpose behind training, behind eating consciously, if you want to call it that, or eating, purposefully. And it has to be a part of an overall context and a much bigger conversation. So the biggest problem I see, and this is what I'm hearing from you, is that you had an awesome routine. You're going to the gym 5 to 6 days a week. How long was each of those sessions? Like 60 minutes or longer?
Yeah, 60 minutes plus.
Okay. So, you're got your testosterone flowing. I'm assuming you're hitting some weights, doing some cardio, like that kind of routine? Or were you like mostly endurance?
Mostly was cardio, and I was running a lot of half marathons and long distance running.
Oh, you're a running junkie. Okay.
I was. I don't know anymore if I want to do it, but.
Right. So that in of itself is a barrier because, if you're going to the gym, I mean, we can just break it down real quick, but if you're going to the gym and doing 75 minute workouts or beyond, and plus your commute time, I'm assuming at least 10, 15 minutes each way.
Even more.
Okay. So now we're looking at 2 hours. And obviously, I mean, if you were to take the route that most people are trying to make it back into shape, I'm going to give you a 0% chance of doing that. That's not to be a dick, but that's just the reality of the situation is that if you, for your priorities right now, there is no way that you could reintegrate that. Right.
Right.
So once we come to that conclusion, then we can start having a bigger conversation, which is like, okay, what can you do? What is your route? If you give me your day, I can start to kind of show people how they can look at their day a little bit differently. So if you just want to kind of walk me through an average day,
yeah, I can walk you through an average day.
Yeah.
So I usually leave the house, help my wife get the kids off to their daycare and she gets off on her day. We get out of the house around 6:30 AM.
Okay.
Usually to work around 7 AM. It's been from 7 until on average, I want to say 4:30 at work. I'm a teacher, but a lot of other days it's later depending on parent meetings and different rehearsals or whatever's happening at school. But on average, I would say 4 to 4:30. I leave. So I'm usually home depending on traffic, 5:30. I usually meet my wife at home. We get dinner together with the kids, spend a little bit of time with the kids. And then the kids are, in bed usually around between 7:30 and 8 PM. And then that's the time that we kind of unwind and kind of make sure everything's set for the next day and kind of go at it again. Now that's my average day for most of the year in the fall, because I teach marching band. My day starts, I'm leaving the house usually at around, 5:30 AM to be at work at 6 AM. So that one's a little bit shifts, but that's kind of my day on average.
Okay. Well, how long of a lunch break do you get teaching? Like what kind of breaks do you get personally?
I have my kids in my room all day, but I can kick them out, but it doesn't always usually happen. But I'm technically supposed to get a 35 minute uninterrupted lunch.
Gotcha. Okay. I would assume that you need that just for sanity and health reasons. And right now that you've told me that your kids are going to bed between 7:30 and 8, I don't really want to have this conversation anymore. I want to talk about that, and you can help me. So not basically. our routine's not that dialed in yet. So looking at that, that's a very full schedule, obviously. We can all agree on that. I think that the way that I would see that most advice, quote unquote, that I'm seeing given for a situation like this, and maybe you can agree with this, that the straightforward solution would be, oh, Adam, you got to get up at 4:30 or 5, bro, right? You got to want it, make it happen. You just don't want it enough. I mean, a little bit of that's true. Like if you're getting up at like 6, it sounds like, then, I mean, we could work on that a little bit, maybe get up at like 5:30. But really the biggest barrier is, like I talked about already, is getting out of this paradigm where you need to go to the gym in order to train, because that's not happening anymore. So the way that we would start structuring it is, I would advise you not to train at night because you're trying to wind down. And, you know, even if you had a little block of time to yourself away from the family, it might energize you and throw off your whole routine, which is not going to be beneficial long term. I would say the straightforward answer would be we could get up a little early and start doing some stuff at home, or we could do that little 35 minute break at work and really like re-energize and capture that. And the way to approach that is to look at what's going to be, you know, the greatest return on your investment of time, right? Mm-hmm. So the running is good. I don't start people running. If people want to ease into running, I generally start them like walking hills or walking for distance and then just gradually increasing the pace by a set percentage every week. And in a month or so, people can be going either much farther or working intervals on hills much faster than they, you know, have in years. And it's very slow, easy progression. It avoids shin splints and overtraining. Easing into something like that would be like about, like I would say, a 15 minute commitment. And then based on what I see, how somebody moves, and that's really the missing link in most people's approach, is they don't understand that our bodies are wired and designed to move. And there are certain movement patterns that we really have to be able to master. So when you get into my world, whether it's kettlebells or barbells, or even your own body weight strength training, like a gymnastics routine, you need to be able to push things in two directions. You need to be able to push stuff overhead, like an overhead press. You need to be able to push horizontally, which could be a bench press or a push-up. You need to be able to pull in both of those directions. So you need to be able to do like rows or pull-ups or chin-ups. And then you need to be able to squat, pick stuff up off the ground, like AKA a deadlift, and then hold weight and carry, and then varieties of gait. So if we can hit all those checkpoints in a program, you're going to have all your bases covered. And very simple to do. I really advise everybody, number one, don't buy a lot of equipment. It does not matter if you have one thing or 10 things. It's all about the plan. Save your money, invest in a good plan. A plan that I provide would be something that would give people an honest breakdown and show them the greatest return on their investment of time, rather than, you know, going and I'm going to buy the weight set and the bench and then I don't really know what to do with it now, right? So, right. And it's really simple to start this at home. You don't need to set up a huge gym or a huge garage gym or anything. The basic routine would look like, now I'm assuming that in your case, you went more towards the endurance side because of how you felt doing it. Am I right about that? Like it made you feel alive, energized.
Yeah. That, and you know, I had a goal. I really wanted to run a half marathon at some point. And I did. And then I just kind of kept going and said, well, how many can I do? And how many can I do in a year? And then it just kinda kept going. And I saw the weight come off quick, and then it was kind of an obsession almost. Yep. You know, I don't know that I have a total addictive personality, but I can see that, and I think that's something I latched onto for many years actually, and you know, got myself in this mindset that I had to hit this number on a scale and make sure I stayed there.
Right, and we'll talk about that component too, because weight is a very difficult metric. So there's better ways of assessing it and making sure that we're on track, especially to keep motivation high. But the reason I asked about that endurance is there is some evidence that we gravitate towards certain activities more than others based on like our neurochemistry. So, you know, running and doing endurance work is going to be, you know, stimulating more like serotonin, and lifting is going to be more dopamine. So there's some correlation there that, you know, the exercise choice might be more about that, about how it's making us feel and the overall state, because most of us don't really go in and, you know, do a ton of research. We kind of just have this preconceived notion, like it sounded like to you, that, you know, you've seen others run and do these challenges and set these targets and get the results. So you did the same thing. And for whatever reason, I saw people, you know, bodybuilding or lifting kettlebells or powerlifting and getting the results I wanted. So a lot of it's perception. And I think there's some brain chemistry there. But to make it super simple, it's like, in addition to the movements that I mentioned that we have to have competency in and be able to increase our strength in, we also have to have certain attributes. We have to be able, if we want to live, and real quick, just to clarify, this is all assuming that, you know, we, both you and I, want to be living as long as possible, and we want to be independent as possible, as long as possible. So,
which I would agree with.
Right. So it's like, you know, It's good to clarify that, though, because a lot of the times when you get to this stage in our life, we're still trying to have the conversation that 20-year-olds are having, you know, about the pecs or the abs or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's great. To get shredded, bro, and do all that kind of stuff, if that's going to detract from your energy, your mental and emotional well-being, and you're an asshole around your kids in your life, or, you know, you're not producing as much as work, to me, that's a bad situation. So the body physique changes are awesome. And yes, that'll be part of it. But I'd really like to start to ask people questions and dive in to what's really motivating them. Because once you start to hit those key needs and desires, or even experiences in the past that we want to avoid, you know, like I'm assuming that you remember what it was like to be significantly overweight. It sounds like maybe even borderline obese. And yeah. You can recall the pain and the sensations of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, it was not good. It was,
right.
It was not fun.
And so as far as the motivation and getting going again, I mean, it's just the person coming in and the coach, the conversation has to change for like long-term optimal benefit to make it a lifestyle again. I mean, we have to talk about like, hey, how's your marriage? You know, like, are you satisfied with how things are going? Are you, you know, and I mean, you don't have to answer these right now. That's, you know, if you want to get into it, we can. If you just wanted me to lay out the questions, that's cool too. Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm satisfied that the thing that I think, you know, going into this whole thing for me was, and trying to get back into it, is my wife and I are both trying to stay healthy and get back into it. Obviously, we've both taken time off, and I think we were trying to figure out, well, how do we do this? How do we split our time? How does one person get to work out while the other one does, you know, picks up the kids or do whatever? And
sure.
That just still hasn't seemed to work. We still haven't been able to set the schedule and do it.
Sure.
And make it happen.
So let's dive into that. There's this really cool exercise that I had a business coach and someone I consider a mentor put me through in the last couple months, and it's really powerful. Have you ever heard of the way that I know it as is 7 levels deep? Have you ever heard of this?
Not, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay. So we're going to take what your original statement, and you said, you know, my wife and me, let's phrase that. My wife and me want to be healthy, right? Like I want to be healthy, right?
Right.
Okay. So now we're going to start to actually dig into that and find out what's going on. So why do you want to be healthy? Why is that important?
Well, I think one is that, you know, I had kids later in life. She's not quite as old as I am. She's only a few years younger though.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to do things that dads can do. And as dads, as we know, especially in modern society, dads are becoming older mm-hmm. a lot of times when they're having children. So I see how old I'll be when they're graduating high school. And I still want to be able to, go to theme parks with them when they're 18 years old and not have a broken down body and being able to keep up and do all the fun things that, you know, my parents did with me.
Okay. So be able to do active things with teens. I'm going to just kind of summarize that. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Cool. So now here we go. So why is that important?
Just because I enjoy being with my family and I want to live a longer, healthier life.
Enjoy family, healthy. They're circling back to that healthy. We're going to skip on that right now, but enjoy being with family. Why is that important?
Because I want to see them, you know, experience a lot of the things that I experienced as a child and as a young adult, and then ultimately see them have children and go through that whole process and become a grandparent.
Okay. Why is that important?
Because we're very family oriented and I love being with my family and around my family and being alive.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. So now we have now we have love being alive. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Because I want to be with my family. I want to be happy. I want to be happy for longevity. I don't want to have somebody taking care of me down the road. I want to be able to be as independent as I can. And like I said, I want to experience my children, but I don't also want to be a burden on my children when they're older as well.
Cool. Okay. So now we're starting to get to that layer where now it's starting to get, do you feel any emotions coming up right now thinking about this?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to picture yourself that far along the line,
sure.
But when you think about it, you know, I didn't think I'd be at this point having kids. You know, I always thought that was a long ways away, and obviously it wasn't. It just, you know, time keeps marching on.
Mm-hmm. So now that we're starting to feel the emotions come up, we can go just a little, just even a little deeper, and you want to allow those emotions to come up because we have to be able to return to this pain, and we have to be able to leverage pain on ourselves to make some of these changes start to happen. So just go a little bit deeper with that. So you were talking about you don't want to be a burden, and I want you to think about maybe situations in your life that you personally experienced secondhand from somebody else, or that you've seen, maybe family members or close friends, where people fall apart, people are unhealthy, and you watched all that pain and sadness that came about, and you don't want that experience for your kids, and you want them to be able to create lives. So I want you to think about that for just a second. I want you to feel all that. And then I'm going to ask you again, why is that important?
Well, I think, you know, you said something about an experience that I had. Well, when I was 19, I had meningitis. I almost died. I was really sick. And I've talked about that on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. But, I knew that I was in good shape then. I was in college. I was in a marching band. I was rehearsing. You know, I was a drummer. I was rehearsing all the time. I was taking care of myself. I may not have been eating the best or sleeping the best, but I was definitely taking care of myself, and I was in great shape, and that saved my life. So, you know, from that, I've had different health ailments throughout my older years and as I've continued on through my life. So I guess just making sure that those don't creep up on me or catch up with me. You know, I beat that challenge once of even death, and then I don't want that as I get older to have my body being deteriorating or what I'm doing to it not be able to sustain, so I can see my kids grow up, so I can see my kids' children grow
right.
up and lead a happier life.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I applaud you for being willing to, you know, go that deep. And that's going to be the anchor that you're, or the rock, or whatever you want to call it. That's like, when everyone's motivation is going to wane, it's going to drift from day to day, depending on what's going on. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons that we turn to, you know, caffeine or nicotine or food, sugar, especially. There's reasons that that humans are using these behaviors, right? And we do that stuff to, you know, sedate emotions or to stimulate ourselves. And because our brain knows it's a quick fix. And I know that, you know, I'm tired, I drink coffee, I feel better. And I've had to learn how to look beyond that. And this is a behavior I'm still working on to out myself, but learning to look beyond those immediate behaviors that we see are not leading to, or not congruent with this purpose of ours. And then behaving from the standpoint of these much bigger contexts, this much bigger talk that we're having right now about what's important. So if you think about that experience you had in having to face death and all those emotions, the questions, the fear. And I mean, how does that feel if you think about your family having to experience that? I mean, that just must intensify, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I don't want to have, you know, I want them to be able to enjoy all the luxuries that I got to enjoy as a child, you know, and as a person growing up and even as a young adult, and not have to have, oh, well, I have to go take care of my parents to make sure that they can, you know, so they can survive, and they can't, they have to forego certain things. So it definitely hits at a point where it's like, I don't want to be that burden. I want to, you know, to lead them to be in, lead independent lives, and then not have to, you know, I want them to come around. Obviously that's not what I'm saying, but I also don't want them to have to feel like they have to be around, because, you know, we can't do what we're supposed to do as, you know, into our
awesome man. And you just brought up a really key phrase, right? And that is, you know, lead them. You must be the leader of your family, right? And how does one lead? Exactly.
Right. Usually.
So again, what we just did here is we just, you know, maybe you've done something like this in the past, but what we usually, when we have these conversations with people, then we can go into like, okay, are you being the, you know, best husband or wife you can be? Are you connecting deep on the deepest level? Are you having enough sex? You know, are you doing good enough at your career and your job? Like, then we can start having this framework where it's like, oh, okay. Because now it's getting up a little bit earlier, going and committing the training session, takes on a whole new meaning. You know, it's like, yeah, losing 10 pounds or whatever, it feels good. Haagen-Dazs feels good too. and it's a lot more convenient to get Haagen-Dazs or, you know, whatever your poison of choice is. So really being able to root the purpose and drive all the choices we make from that, and returning to that on a daily basis is the commonality I have seen, not only from people who are fit, but people who are the most passionate and producing the biggest results in their careers, you know, giving the most to their families, exhibiting the highest, you know, whatever you want to call it, spiritual connections or connections with God, that sort of certainty, depending on how somebody perceives and experiences that dimension. And being able to tap into this is really going to make all this difference. And then when we start looking at, you know, career, spirituality, relationships, like you already talked about, you need a body to do that. I mean, you can meditate all you want, but if you're done meditating and you have trouble getting up off the cushion or the chair that you're in, and you're out of breath, and then you're going to be limited in your spiritual practice. You know, if somebody's career is stagnant and they're not satisfied with what they're creating on a regular basis, well, your endurance and your focus is going to be dictated by that. So really this is about just bringing us back to our purpose and our reason for doing it, which there are times where I don't want to lift, I don't want to do anything. And getting better with these tools and these, whatever you want to call it, mindset training or habit-based approach, really starts to make the biggest leverage possible in the routine. And especially with eating, eating for power, eating for purpose, and, you know, with some pleasure mixed in to a degree that's not going to detract from that, that's going to start to feel different too.
Absolutely. And it's so important. It's so important to have these conversations. It's so important to break down the walls. This is a good place for us to take a quick short break. When we return, we're gonna talk a little bit more about all the information we're talking about in the first half, but also how folks can meet with you and kind of start setting up plans so that they can move forward and look into their own lives. And I know many listeners out there are probably wondering, well, how can we do this? So we'll talk a little bit about that in our favorite reoccurring segment that we like to ask all the dads that join us on the show, what they cannot wait to see through their children's eyes. So stick around after the break. Welcome back. We're here with Zach. Zach is a consultant and works with health and well-being and families and making sure people are leading the best lives that they can lead. If you've listened to the first half, he kind of has been taking us through kind of my experience and how I could benefit from this so others can maybe hear a little bit about it and maybe find out from Zach how they can, you know, get this experience and maybe get their lives better on track or moving forward at a better pace. So we left the conversation with, you know, delving into what's the root of the cause and how can we capitalize on making sure we make better choices for our lives and become healthier. And when we return here, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about how we dive into that schedule, and with everybody's busy schedule, especially parents, we know parents, you're all busy. How do we make this work and how do we become that better you? So, you know, we talked a little bit at the break of all the roots of things and how to get, you know, ahead of the game and make sure I get back out there. But now how do we implement that, Zach?
Okay. So great question. Obviously that's where we started before we dove in the purpose. And I like to, like as mentioned briefly in the beginning, I like to keep everything as minimal as possible as far as like a financial investment. Now, there are some people with more time than you. And now, just to clarify for everyone listening, this example is going to be based on somebody with your type of a life where mm-hmm. there's no way that I can tell you that you're going to carve out, you know, 60 to 90 minutes to go to the gym regularly. And, you know, let's just be real. Let's get through that. If somebody has the financial means and they need that accountability to hire a great coach or join a great community, and it's a community based on long-term health as well as strength and physique and, you know, getting in better quote-unquote shape, you know, awesome. Yeah, that's a good resource. But for someone in your position, we're not even going to factor that in right now until your schedule changes. So a program that I use personally, it was derived by a well-known strength coach named Jim Wendler, who was a competitive power lifter, and I forget his exact total. I think he started totaling like 2,200 pounds or something insane. I mean, he was an absolute beast. But he made the point. He's hilarious. He curses a lot. He's an awesome dude. I've never met him personally, but just his writings are great. And he's like, yeah, I could squat, deadlift, and bench, and that was my whole life. That's all I could do. I was in terrible shape. So from a guy that moves 2,200 pounds to say that's pretty impactful. But so he's broken it down, and I've seen lots of programs the same way, where these minimalist approaches, like I mentioned in the beginning, we need to be really good at five, being strong in five movement patterns or lifts or whatever you want to think of it as. I think of it as a strength pattern. So in your situation, the fastest way would be, okay, we're going to start on Monday and you're going to do some form of movement just to wake your ass up. Get up maybe a little bit earlier. When people start talking about getting up earlier, the mistake they make is, you know, if I heard you right, you're waking up at six, right?
Or a little. I'm usually waking up about 5:45, but yeah, pretty
okay.
Cool.
So like 5:45. Okay, that's fine. So I'm waking up at 5:45 regularly, you know, and the mistake people make is like, well, I'm going to wake up at 4:45 now or 4:30. It's like, nah, probably not. Maybe you're going to do it for a few days, but then you're going to quit. So let's start gradually just increasing that time window just a little bit. So let's take you from 5:45 to like 5:30 or something like that. Or you can just get more efficient when you wake up. Maybe you're not efficient in the morning. Maybe you're seeing that's like, you know, wow, it's like I wake up, I roll over, I'm looking at my phone, scrolling through some emails. Oh, you know, what did Jim say on Facebook? I mean, whatever the routine is, we can look at that intro routine and we can just bypass that and get, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to move. And that might just look like a walk real quick. Do you have a dog or anything like that? Okay.
No, but we've been, my wife and I have been trying to incorporate that walk. That's where we've started.
Perfect. No, that's a great start. And I mean, we can make that walk a little bit more complex. There was this trend in the 80s called heavy hands. You've probably seen some videos, people holding 3-pound weights and swinging their arms a little bit excessively. Yep. Looks kind of stupid, but there's actually some good science behind it. So you can actually make walking better in a variety of ways. You can do something like that heavy hands thing. And if you get the good information from the original guy, it's very effective. It increases the heart rate because you're moving weight above your heart and you've got all four limbs loaded. So that's going to really boost things for you. You can go and start using like a vest, like some sort of a training thing where you start adding weight to yourself, or use like a used backpack and start slowly increasing the weight by like, you know, 2 to 5 pounds a week based on comfort and whatnot. But just getting that walk dialed in, keeping it to, you know, I don't know, I'd just probably start at like a 15-minute target and just trying to go further or add weight or more intensity to it just to get my energy flowing, right? Then from there, we can do our quote-unquote lifting really, really quick. You can do that walk. You can come home. You can break it out like this. You could do, on Mondays, I'm going to do chest. On Tuesdays, I'm going to do squats. Wednesdays, I'm going to do overhead press or like a pull. Thursdays, I'm going to do like a deadlift, right? Just stick with the basics, the absolute fundamentals. So I do my walk, I come home, and now I'm going to do, I have 10 minutes, and I'm going to do push-ups at the top of every minute on the minute. And the cool thing about approaching like this is, I mean, this can even be integrated with the morning routine with your kiddos, you know? Like maybe you can't do a whole session by yourself, but maybe I can do, okay, I can do stuff with the kids, and then I can drop down and do, or, you know, 10 push-ups, and then do stuff again, right? But we're just starting to build that habit. We're building that routine. And then I can start increasing the intensity. A push-up is great because it can be done at any height to make it easier. So your wife and you can do this at the same time. Based on your current strength, you might start pushing against a wall or like a countertop. And then every couple of weeks, as you feel your strength increasing, you just go lower and lower to the ground by finding different things around your home. Couches, you know, desks, anything that's stable and safe, you can use for that type of a movement. Squats are pretty self-explanatory. I have a coaching process to walk people through those to make sure the abs are working so that it can free up the movement and how to place your feet and everything. And I'll, you know, provide some, I can provide videos or more information on that if people are interested. Overhead press, or like pulls, like a TRX is a great tool. You can get, suspension trainers that are really high quality for like $50 on Amazon. Very small investment. You can do some pulling motions on that. You can even do your pushups on the TRX if you're competent enough. Overhead press, you can buy really cheap used weights. I always tell people to buy the look used first because they're everywhere. You can find them on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. There's a lot of local equipment places in cities. You know, just buy the minimal thing you need to get going and then add to it. There's dumbbells that are adjustable that are really easy and cheap that have spinner locks on them. And then just picking weight up off the ground for a deadlift, you can use anything. You can find, you know, a decent sized rock, honestly. You can find used weights. You can load anything that can be loaded and changed, and then we just find the right height for that. So that's basically covering all of the lifting needs, and then based on when you start to get more energy and you start to see the changes, then from there you can start to add layers to it. But that's like just a really minimalist, straightforward approach that doesn't take, I usually ask people for a 20-minute commitment, and then, you know, maybe push them to 25 after a couple of weeks or so.
No, it seems that's doable. And what do you suggest? You say 7 days a week?
So as far as, I mean, you could do that. Yeah, you could rotate it. I like to do, like I was just saying, like if you do a split, like I was advocating, like you do upper body pushing, like push-ups one day, legs the next day, squats. Next day you return to some upper body work, like some TRX rows and or some overhead pressing. Then you're doing the following day, you're doing the deadlift. So that's 4 days. If you wanted to add like another day of push-ups or something, yeah, that's fine. And then you can kind of mix it up a little bit, but that's just, like I said, it's just really getting that intro commitment to, from people to where they have the certainty and they can't make the excuse because it's only 15 or 20 minutes. And then once those stories are starting to overcome, then we can start increasing it by layers of complexity as needed or as desired.
No, and it seems very doable. It seems very doable. It's maybe something that, you know, I'll start getting myself into, and as I start seeing progress, maybe you and I can check in with our listeners and let them know how it's going so that they can see that there's success there and can get involved and maybe reach out.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I'm formulating a challenge right now. I'm trying to steal some steam from Game of Thrones. So I have a challenge coming out called Game of Tone. With the tagline that summer is coming or thinner is coming. I'm going back and forth between the two. And it's going to be delivered by in person in Reno, Nevada at my gym, but it's also going to be available via a distance coaching app. And I wanted to offer that as a gift to you today for allowing me to come on. I was going to give you access to that for 4 months just to check it out and just kind of give you some, you know, just these targeted specifics of how to be increasing. The app is really cool because it's not my personal app. It's through a company called Train Heroic, but you have workouts every single day on your calendar. You hit the workout, it pulls everything up. If you are spacing on some details, you hit the lift or the movement in question, and it provides you a quick video of like a minute or so explaining it again. So it's a really great tool for people who don't have the time or the resources to go to unfortunately, there's a lot of places that just don't have a qualified coach. You know, I have very high coaching standards, so there's some places where you can't find somebody that I would advocate going to. So if any of those three conditions for any of your listeners are current, then, you know, that's a very direct, fast way to get going. And I plan on trying to do but I'll be offering a community aspect with that as well, probably like some sort of a private Facebook group where data is secured. And that way people can check in with each other and, you know, we can start diving into some of these mindset things too and start connecting. So, yep.
That's all great information. And we'll double back to that, how people can get involved and how to get in touch with you and the different ways they can look up programs and stuff through you. But before we do that, we always, with every new guest we have on, we always like to ask them, it's our kind of a reoccurring segment of things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. Is there something that you can't wait to experience through your children's eyes, or you already have, or you're looking forward to seeing and reliving maybe through an experience that you had and getting to do it again? Is there something out there that you're
It's really funny. We have all sorts of experiences like that where, I mean, I really try to capture them and file them away because it's pretty amazing. Just the perception difference, obviously, when they, you know, are so fresh and they have these, like you talk about, just this perception that's totally different from ours. We really like the movie in our household. Have you seen the Spider-Verse movie? Have you guys watched that? We ended up buying it. Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really well crafted. It touches on a lot of deep themes. It's very emotional. But it's funny because, not to spoil anything for anybody, but in the movie, the boy who ends up becoming the new Spider-Man, his dad is a cop. And so, the dad is African American and the mom was like Puerto Rican, I think. But so watching that so many times, my son is like, are all cops black? And just hearing things like that is just hilarious because, you know, it's just something that we would never even think of. So it's like, there's just so many moments like that each and every week where you're just reminded of how our paradigm has been increased. We're really blessed in the fact that next month we're going to have an opportunity to go to Disney World. So that's going to be amazing. They're really passionate about superheroes, and my youngest really likes Lightning McQueen. And so it's going to be cool to see all those characters and watch them react with that. I really look forward to, sports was an integral part of my upbringing. I'm not going to push my kids into sports. There's a lot of problems with specificity and just doing one sport too much in early years. But I plan on having them learn gymnastics soon and experiencing that. I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'd like them to learn that. And really just, you know, mastering how they use their body and then, you know, just making friends. I really look forward to that. We're kind of not at that stage yet, but it's starting to happen now where my oldest son, Michael, is starting to be more outgoing and connecting with kids a lot faster. So that's going to be exciting to watch them, you know, form these friendships And really every experience, school, you know, high school. I mean, there's so many scenarios I've thought about, and it's funny. I'm sure this is common. Maybe you do this, but depending on your current emotional state, sometimes that can either be dread and fear, or it can be elation and joy to think of these future things that we have coming down the pipeline.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, you can always find, we usually always come back to find mm-hmm. the good in the end result, right? So that's the positive thing on that. So if folks want to get, you know, involved with your program or...
Awesome, man. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. So the company's name, like you mentioned in the beginning, is Vigor Revolution, which is too long. I'll be the first to admit. Last couple of years, I've been like, man, I should have made something a little shorter. So I keep going back and forth if I should, you know, update that. But I have a website under that name, and thank you for including the link to that. I appreciate it. I'm on Instagram under the same handle. My personal Instagram is dadbodkiller, which is my current progress to learn. I put it back on just kind of like you were talking about putting some weight back on when I really understood how bad of an entrepreneur I was and how much work that takes. I ended up resorting to some unhealthy eating tactics to compensate for that stress. So right now I'm on a journey to, you know, get back to where I was before kids. I'm like around 215 right now. I used to be about 190 to 195. So I think my healthy weight target's about 200 right now. And I have more metrics than that, but they can follow that journey. I have a Facebook page under the same name as Of Vigor Revolution. I'm on regular Facebook, Zach Yanska. I put out, you know, based on the platform, I'm trying to put out different things. LinkedIn, I put out more professional advice, et cetera, et cetera. So kind of depends on what viewpoint you want. I'm trying to learn how to use these social tools to connect with people better and provide more value through each platform, and like Gary Vaynerchuk style. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate, you know, you sharing that. We'll definitely put all those links into the show notes so that they can get in touch with you in whatever way, you know, they're most comfortable with. And hopefully we'll get some folks started on your program, and we can all keep moving on a healthier life. And, you know, I'm gonna get after this and start following your program, and we'll check in with progress too. Maybe we can do this again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man, because it'd really be cool, like, if we, you know, like, did that check-in in, like, I don't know, a couple months or 6 weeks or something like that, because – again, the conversation is going to be different, because now you're going to be coming back going, okay, I'm doing this and this is working and this is not working. And then we have, you know, some more ways to troubleshoot and some more avenues to take that people are not readily aware of. And you sent me some great questions about some blogs I've written too. So anytime we can dive into that, would be highly appreciated and look forward to. I really appreciate being able to have these conversations. It keeps me sane and happy and connected to life. So thank you.
Yeah, we'll absolutely do that. We'll have you on soon, and we'll get something scheduled in the book so we can kind of maybe set this out over the next few months even, and hit some of those blogs and hit some of those dietary blogs that you've written and go from there, but also kind of see how this, your program has worked and how we can help.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much, Adam. And yeah, that unpacking the nutrition one would be really fascinating. Very personalized, and there's some principles to follow, but everyone's nutrition is going to end up looking a little unique. So it's good to not be dogmatic and an ideologue about nutrition. So awesome, man.
Right. Yeah. Thanks so much. And folks, don't forget that you can get the Dad Experience on most major podcast platforms. If you like the Dad Experience, don't forget we're a part of the Parents on Demand Network. Stick around to the end of this episode to hear about another great parenting podcast. As always, email us if you have a show idea or a question. Maybe you have a question for Zach and you can't find him through his social media. So hit us up, experiencedad@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram, The Dad Experience, and we'll catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.